Happy Monday. And welcome to a brand new program. Same idiots. Pat Steinberg and Matty Rose along with you. Sportsnet 960 The Fan and sportsnet.ca/960. Our podcast channel coming soon.
And a name coming soon.
But as we sit here in the middle of the Calgary Flames offseason, we're going to be talking some CFL football, some Stampeders football throughout the summer here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Right now, the sports drive's underway, brought to you by South Trail Hyundai. You have questions and South Trail Hyundai has answers. South Trail Hyundai, where they say yes to everyone. South Trail Hyundai, just east of 52nd on 130th Ave Southeast and online at southtrailhyundai.com. And Matty, you and I have been kicking this one around for the last little while. We are both giant CFL nerds. I've been covering this league, the Canadian Football League, for more than a decade, like 15 years now, going back to when I was at practice every day for the Stampeders. I've been writing at CFL.ca for almost a full decade on Mondays and throughout the week. Real Football Show was our pre- and post-game show we used to do on this radio station. So I am a massive CFL nerd. And what was it? Was this a year four of covering the Stampeders full-time for you?
Yeah, it's hard to say because there was the lost years in between, but I want to say it was the Grey Cup winning season, the one up in Hamilton, and the one in Calgary. So yeah, that would have been three Grey Cups. This will be fourth.
So it's pretty. I'm pretty stoked for this. We'll have interviews with Stamp players, Stampeders players, exclusive interviews. The Stamps report in just minutes. Stamps report returns for 2022. Bo Levi Mitchell's going to join us. I think we're going to have him on Mondays as often as we can. Your Stampeders starting quarterback. But let's just to kick it off with a little conversation on the Calgary Stampeders. What are realistic expectations for this team this year? Because granted, this is slightly skewed because they did not play in 2020, but we're talking about a Stamps team that has not won a playoff game since 2018. Mm-hmm. Since the Grey Cup win in 2018 over Ottawa, the Stampeders have not won a playoff game. They lost in 2019, didn't play in 2020. They lost the West Division semifinal in 2021 as well. And that is just not what this organization is used to. They're not used to going out early like they have the last two seasons. That's why I say, what are realistic expectations for the team this year?
Well, I think that expectations can be high for this team, especially when I look back at how 2021 ended. It wasn't a great start to the season for the Stampeders. They were hampered by some injuries in kind of the middle portion of that season. And then you get into the playoffs, and everything that could go wrong in that game kind of did, including your Hall of Fame kicker probably having, as he had put it, his worst game of his entire career in Rene Paradis, who missed a handful of key kicks, and things were tough. But I think that this year, they were able to bring back a lot of the offense. You're talking about Reggie Bagleton back for a full year. You're talking about Kamar Jordan. The offensive line healthy to start the season. It has been healthy all training camp, which I think is a big key. Kadeem Carey is back. They got some depth at running back. I like the depth at receivers. So I think the offense is going to be good. I've got a handful of questions with the defense, but I still think that Brent Monson is a coach that'll be able to put his players in the best place to succeed and work around what they have to deal with. And right now they are dealing with some injuries in their secondary, which is kind of hampering the group. But I think this is certainly going to be a playoff team. And as it kind of is in the CFL year in, year out, it's toss-up. Like, I think there's two teams, one in particular being the BC Lions, that might have a rough go when you look at their roster. Edmonton is in the conversation, but I'd never really want to count out a Chris Jones team.
I kind of like BC this year.
And we'll have to see, because the problem for me with BC is their quarterback.
I think this guy is off the charts good. Like, it might take some time, but I think Nathan Rourke is going to be a superstar in this league.
Yeah, I don't know enough about him. I haven't watched a ton of them play, but I'm excited.
You didn't watch a lot of Ohio football?
No.
Not Ohio State.
No. No. But yeah, I think that as it is to start every season, a lot of it depends on health. but it's pretty wide open.
I think they're a playoff team. I think the expectation is to be back in the playoffs for, would that be a 17th straight year? I think getting back to the play, getting to the playoffs, that's the expectation. Because with this coaching staff, this roster, I know they've lost back-to-back playoff games. I think they get to the playoffs. I think that they've got a chance to do something with it. So that, to me, is the expectation. I think they will meet that expectation.
Sure.
The over-under over at BetOnline has them at 10 wins on an 18-game schedule. Let's not forget that we're talking about an 18-game normal CFL schedule with three bye weeks as opposed to the condensed 14-game schedule that we saw last year coming out of the pandemic. So I think them going 10-8 is beyond doable. I kind of have them in the 12-6 range, 12-win team, fighting for a home playoff date. I still think Winnipeg is without question cream of the crop, and I think it'll have to, the things will have to go drastically wrong in my eyes for Winnipeg not to win the division. They're just that good, and I think that they finish first place. Whether they win a third straight Grey Cup, I don't know, but I think Calgary fighting for a home playoff date and being one of the top three teams in the West, that is my expectation. I think it is a beyond realistic expectation, and I'm really excited for some of the storylines that we're going to be diving into all year long. You ready for it?
I'm ready, man. I'm fired up.
Let's friggin' do it. Maddie, it's time for the Stamps Report. Let's hit it.
It was an exciting, right now. It's an exciting time of year. The players.
Yeah, the season starts on Thursday.
With the Stampeders in action, which is kind of a nice little bonus for Stamps fans, but the players now know where they stand on the team, especially the newcomers who are now either practice squad or you're fully on the roster. They're trying to piece together their three units. We as the media trying to figure out who's got the edge, who's playing well, all before the Stampeders kick off the CFL season on Thursday. And Dave Dickinson spoke to the media on Monday, closed practice for the Stamps, but nevertheless, Dave Dickinson did speak and talked about the newcomers especially as they have quite a bit on their plate at this time of year.
You know, it's not even about football. And these guys got a lot on their plate, and their lives have changed. They're happy, and then all of a sudden they got to figure out where to live. And now all of a sudden they don't have any money coming in from camp, some of the rookies, and they got rent. They don't know the city at all because we're trying to, during camp, stay focused on what's important, which is football. They don't know where to live. They don't know. They need roommates. They don't have transportation. So a lot of it's not even football related, but I felt like we are a little bit tired. I'm going to have to back off a little bit tomorrow, make sure hopefully the foundation is in and get the guys with a little bit more energy so we can play fast.
Plenty of newcomers to Calgary and some of that, well, they'll get acquainted to the fans quickly with some of the injuries the team's already dealing with, particularly in the secondary. Newcomer Eli Buka, the national who's expected to start at safety, former Dino, has yet to practice with a hamstring issue, although he does sound close. Returning players Marcellus Branch and Javina Elliott expected to have more prominent roles in the secondary this year. They've both been placed on the six-game injured list to start the season. Veteran back and Sam linebacker for the Stamps, Brandon Dozier, he's been dealing with a calf issue, limited in practice at best. We've seen three 23-year-old Americans getting normal reps in the secondary. Kobe Williams, who played in one game last year, as well as Deontay Ruffin and Titus Wall, both newcomers to the CFL. Dave Dickinson had this to say when he was asked about Williams and Ruffin and fitting into the defense, and some good tidbits on Raheem Wilson as well, who's kind of shifted over to safety as they deal with these injuries.
I think Raheem really proved his worth playing multiple positions. I feel confident in that. If Doge is back in, it's just a matter of who's playing. Doge, Buka, Raheem could move over to half. Maybe one of those guys doesn't play or is a DI type of role. So we got lots of options. We just got to tighten that up tomorrow and hopefully have a good plan for day three.
So honestly, I think right now that's the secondary is probably my biggest question mark position for the team just because of kind of the health that they're out at right now in training camp. And that's going to be one of my biggest things to monitor with this Stampeders team as we kind of get going into the regular season.
Well, when I take a look at a Stampeders secondary and I know who is sitting there at the boundary corner, like when I see Trey Roberson at boundary corner, like it all starts from there for me. And Trey's healthy. Mm-hmm. He's got a full training camp for a full season. Like Trey came back partway through last year. On an already shortened season, full training camp, 18-game season, like This guy makes a difference. And he was dynamite last year when he returned. I look at this, and I like Moxie, and I like the Buka acquisition. I like Raheem Wilson's versatility. I'm actually feel like the fact that they've got Trey Roberson in the fold and ready to go to start the year, I'm feeling really good about their defensive backfield this year. I had more questions, and I get what you're saying, because the health
it's injuries. That's the big thing, right?
And none of them seem like they're major. So maybe, like, I just, as a whole big picture, I'm feeling better about Calgary's defensive backfield coming into 2022 than I did coming into 21.
Yeah, the loss of Deshaun Amos is a big one
for
me.
It is.
But once Eli Buka gets healthy, and I do worry about that just because it is a hamstring, and it's kind of hard once you start out the year with a hamstring injury to ever get it kind of dealt with without taking a really long, extended kind of time away from the field, right? So I do wonder, that's going to be a big kind of position for them. They traded away Royce Mechie to bring in Cameron Judge and do a little national swap there on their defense. That's going to be a big thing. And if they do that, then Raheem Wilson can shift over to that boundary halfback position. I think they feel good about one of the younger guys, probably Kobe Williams playing the field half and Jonathan Moxie out at the field corner. I think you've got a nice tandem on your corners.
I like that. I like that corner tandem.
Moxie's got the visor going this year, looking pretty sharp. Okay. And you know he's always one of the emotional heartbeats of that defense as well. Another notable injury, this one's just popped up the last couple days in practice, and this is the punter, Cody Grace. I'm a massive fan, but now dealing with a groin issue.
Unfortunately, Cody had a muscle pull yesterday in warm-ups. So we tried to basically, I guess, adjust on the fly. It was a lot of work. I know Sask believes in Jimmy Smith right there, and so we had to obviously give a little bit up to get him. He looked good in day one. We'll try to get Cody back as soon as possible.
So that clip's from Monday morning. Cody Grace had an MRI scheduled for Monday at 2:30. We'll have a better idea on the timeline for him after Tuesday's session, but as you heard from Dave Dickinson, the Stampeders made a trade late Sunday. They acquired 27-year-old Aussie punter James Smith from the Rough Riders for a 7th-round pick in 2023 and a 3rd-round pick in the 2023 Global Draft. Like Grace, Smith played in the NCAA 4 seasons at the University of Cincinnati, finished his career as the Bearcats' all-time leader in punting yards. He had also signed with the Tennessee Titans as an undrafted free agent in 2021 before he made his way up to the CFL. But that injury for Grace is a huge one, Pat, because for my money, best punter in the CFL.
He was great. He was like that. You lose one of the best punters in the history of the game in Maver, and you come back and you have Grace pop in 2021 the way that he did. Now, they've got the Aussie lock on punters, so maybe they'll be fine. I hope that that's not a long, long-term injury for Grace, because you're right. That guy debuted and immediately, look, CFL punting is a very nuanced position.
Yep.
It's maybe more nuanced than people give it credit for sometimes.
Yep.
Yeah, we talk about pounding the ball and distance and all that type of stuff. There are very few guys that do it as well as Grace did, especially early on. Like, his outside the numbers punting, and like he was really, really good last year. That could be a big-time field position disadvantage for the Stampeders if he's not back in the somewhat near future.
Well, there's a couple keys to what he did really well. The positional punting, which something he had never really done in the NCAA because it's not necessarily as important. You basically just got to kick that thing as far as you can.
Yeah.
But changing over to the position, the directional, and trying to pin the opposition within their own 10, within their own 15. He really took to that and continued to improve. He's also the holder for Rene Paradis on field goals. And the other thing that he does so well is he's just got a massive leg. Like, the hang time on the ball is incredible. And I think this year in particular, it's going to be very important with some of the changes that the CFL has made, particularly with the no yards penalties. So just blanket across the board. If you commit a no-yards penalty, it's a 15-yard penalty. It doesn't matter if it bounced or if it got caught in the air, none of that. If you do a no-yards penalty on special teams, on punts, whatever, 15-yard penalty, automatic,
yep.
Boom. So that is a lot more significant, and with the way that Grace is able to get incredible hang time on his ball, it just allows the players to time out their, you know, trip to the returner even that much better.
Yep.
So that's a big loss. That's going to be something to keep an eye on as we move forward. A couple other injury tidbits from the June 6th report here. Jalen Philpott, who was the first-round pick in 2020, this past draft, limited in practice on Monday. Big step forward. It's his first time he's even been limited. Suffered a hamstring injury that kept him sidelined since rookie camp. And national receiver Tyson Middlemost limited with a knee injury as well. I do like the depth at Canadian receiver for the Calgary Stampeders, but Middlemost and Philpott are a big part of that depth.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd like to see them on the field a little bit more.
Yeah, and again, none of these things sound super serious.
No.
So, you know, if it's a game missed here or there, you'd like to see, especially Philpott, you'd like to see him get in right from the get-go.
Well, especially this would have been him against his brother in Montreal,
exactly.
Right? And it really doesn't look like he's on pace to make his debut.
Which is too bad. That would have been a pretty cool story to both make their CFL debuts. Yeah. The former USC receivers going head-to-head in their first CFL game would have been super neat, so that's too bad. But
I don't think the Stamps are going out to Montreal this year, if I'm not mistaken. I believe that's one trip that they do not have on their calendar.
Yeah, it's too bad.
So we won't get to see the Philpott Bowl until perhaps the postseason or the following year. A couple other things from practice. Start with the quarterbacks. Bo Levi Mitchell expected to join us in about 15 minutes' time here to talk about the upcoming season. Dave Dickinson said he's liked what he's seen from Mitchell throughout the course of training camp.
Bo looked good. Jake looked good. You know, we feel confident in our quarterback room. Excited to get it going. I feel like, obviously, come out firing. I really don't feel like this offense necessarily has a lot of new parts. We're not super deep. At certain positions, but we got good players, so I want to come out running and passing and protecting that football.
It's going to be Jake Mayer as the backup and then big Tommy Stevens as the third quarterback. That's expected at least, although Stevens did show quite well throughout the training camp and preseason schedule.
I think all of our quarterbacks got to keep improving and all made good plays at times and all can improve, so just decided to go that route, and I want to build him and hopefully he continues to improve on his reading defenses. But he was solid in the huddle, made some good plays with his legs. And, you know, obviously I just got to do my job and make him better thrower with our system. He's got it in him. So I'm looking forward to Tommy progressing and doing the right things.
Now we'll see if they end up playing three quarterbacks. There's a little bit of flexibility allowed this year. And Tommy's done a lot of the short yardage. And he's also done some special teams play, but Dave Dickinson wouldn't commit to running with three all season long.
The way it's kind of set up, I can play an extra Canadian, a global quarterback, but I got to see how the rest of the roster fits. But, I mean, it's an option, which is a nice option, and we've been also having Tommy play some special teams. You know, there's no reason he did that in the NFL that he couldn't help us out there. But I got to see what the rest of the roster looks like before I can commit to that.
Stevens is interesting. He's 6'5", 215 pounds, 25 years old, first CFL year. He was actually drafted by the New Orleans Saints in the 7th round back in 2020. Spent some time with the New York Giants and Carolina Panthers. Actually got into a single game of action with the Panthers, too. He'll be the third guy, and so big that they can use him on special teams, which really sets all sorts of things up for Mark Killam and that specialty teams unit.
I like it. And you don't see that very often. So if there's a guy that can use guys on special teams to exactly their mostest, I know that's not a word, but to really bring out all of what they've got. Mark Killam's the guy to do it. I like that.
He makes guys on that special teams unit feels just as important to the team as anybody on the starting offense or the starting defense. And I think just getting that particular buy-in is so important. And that's one of the things that Mark Killam just does so well. A couple other things really quickly before we get to Bo Levi Mitchell. On the defensive side of the ball, the big offseason addition is national linebacker Cam Judge, acquired in a trade in February with Toronto. So the Stamps traded the rights to national safety Royce Metchie to acquire Judge. Early returns are good. I asked Dave Dickinson what had impressed him the most about Judge.
Everything. I mean, he's a good leader, works, runs well, has ball skills. I've just been honestly very impressed. I feel like that trade we made was a good trade for our team.
Fifth CFL season for Judge, 6'2", speedy, but still very strong. A former second overall pick in the draft, played four seasons at UCLA. The Riders drafted him second overall. He was the West Division finalist for most outstanding Canadian in his third season in the league. Only 9 games played in 2021 with the Argos before he made his way to the red and white. And Dave Dickinson also talked about that tandem with him and Thurman, who has moved to the middle linebacker position. That's Jameer Thurman. That position formerly held by Darnell Sankey in 2021.
The linebackers got a lot on their plate. To me, it's the communication, and they got so much field to cover. I mean, the best teams have linebackers that are making plays, pass rush as well as in the pass game. To me, they're the glue that kind of puts the two units together. You got your front end, your back end. If you've got that glue, if you've got those linebackers that make your team better, those are when you have championship teams. So I like what we got, and I like our young guys too. I think we got a heavy competition at both backup Will and then at Mike as well. We've got good players there. They have to make an impact on special teams. Hopefully they're ready when they get their opportunity.
I'm excited to see this defense, Pat, especially that front six on the D-line. You know, there's still some battles going on for the two edge positions, but you got Mike Rose and Derek Wigan back in the middle. Jameer Thurman goes from the outside to the inside, an easy swap for him. And then you got Cam Judge on the outside.
Dude, I think Jameer Thurman is going to explode this year. He was outstanding in 14 games, pretty much all at Will linebacker last year. But playing that position, you don't rack up the same type of numbers. And so I don't know if the rest of the league truly knew how good Jameer Thurman was last year. I don't know if there's a better athlete, like maybe Willie Jefferson in Winnipeg. I don't know if there's a better athlete in the CFL than Jameer. He is ridiculous. And you move him, so you bring in a natural weak side linebacker and Judge in a really good savvy move by the Stampeders, move him to his natural spot, move Jameer to the middle where Darnell Sankey led the CFL in tackles last year. And I think Jameer was a huge part of why Sankey did that. But now you move Jameer Thurman with his ranginess, his speed, his power to the middle. And I don't know, for a natural linebacker and for non-CFL aficionados, there are three linebacker spots on the field. And one of them is the cover linebacker, the strong side linebacker.
The Sam linebacker,
which is basically a sixth secondary position. It's basically a sixth.
Your biggest DB, defensive back?
Pretty much. But basically, they're dropping into coverage more often than not. But Jameer Thurman's a natural linebacker and a guy who plays either the middle or the weak side.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there's a better linebacker in the league, natural linebacker dropping into coverage than Thurman. The guy is elite. Like, the guy could probably play strong side linebacker if you really needed him to, or Sam linebacker. Now, he's not a natural DB, so you probably wouldn't. All I'm saying is the way this guy can, his ranginess is straight ahead, it's lateral, but when you throw in the fact that he backpedals and can drop into coverage at the level that he does, I think this guy, like I, over at CFL.ca today, Matty, I threw out my most outstanding player, most outstanding defensive player, and most outstanding Canadian player nominations or guesses or predictions.
Yeah.
I think Jameer Thurman's your most outstanding defensive player. If he has the season I think he can have, I think he could easily win the most outstanding defensive player this year in the CFL.
The only thing I'll add is, you know, talking to people around the team last year as we were getting ready to do the awards, and Darnell Sankey ended up being the nominee for most outstanding defensive player. He just had the numbers to back it up, but talking to people around the team, they were pushing for that to be Jameer Thurman. There was just mention that there were holes at times with Sankey getting used to the Canadian game that Thurman covered up and you had no idea, and it led to better numbers for Sankey. But yeah, it's going to be a fun year.
And we will hear from Cameron Judge a little bit later on, the Stampeders linebacker who's moving in to that weak side spot as a result of Darnell Sankey's signing with the Saskatchewan Roughriders. That it? That's the Stamps report?
That's the Stamps report. I'm Matt Rose.
Good to have it back, Matty. Don't forget Fridays, this coming Friday, here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Not Fridays, just the one, because Father's Day only happens once a year. On Boomer in the Morning, Flames Talk, and The Big Show, we are going to be giving away 10 opportunities to win a dozen Wild Roses thanks to our friends at Wild Rose Brewery. We're doing this for Father's Day. It is a prize package of Wild Rose beer and a $50 gift card to experience the tap room for Father's Day. That's coming up on Friday, so be listening all day across our family of shows, and stop by the Wild Rose Brewery tap room in the Curry Barracks for some cold beerations, and look for their new 100% recyclable can carriers in stores now. Okay, our Monday football hour rolls on. Welcome to week one of the CFL season. And kicking off the CFL season on Thursday night, the Calgary Stampeders at McMahon against the Montreal Alouettes. Our brand new football hour.
Still looking for a name.
I suggested, this one didn't get, this one has not been greenlit. I suggested 19 plus 81 equals 100. That's what I suggested. They did not like it. Right now it is the Sports Drive brought to you by South Trail Hyundai. You have questions. South Trail Hyundai has answers. South Trail Hyundai, where they say yes to everyone. South Trail Hyundai, just east of 52nd on 130th Ave Southeast and online at southtrailhyundai.com. Matty Rhodes, my name is Pat Steinberg. And to kick off our first football hour, we say hello to Stampeders quarterback Bo Levi Mitchell with us right now. Hi, Bo. How are we doing?
Matty, Pat, man. It's good to be back.
It's good to have you on. What it was the 19... plus 81 equals 100,
yep.
Rolled right off Klukas. The tongue.
Yeah, me and Matt both tried to venture with Klukas, and you know what? They both didn't work out so far. So
there's one common denominator.
One common link there. It's, I don't know.
Can you confirm something just quickly before we get into like actual football talk with you? But there was like a good 2 or 3 month stretch where your Wikipedia page had you as opposed to Bo Levi Mitchell, it had Bo Livonius Mitchell. Is that true?
Oh, yeah. I think that was Matt Rose.
No.
For sure.
That's too creative for me.
But it stayed there for like 2 or 3 months. Nobody changed it until finally, like, oh, this is not real. We're going to revert it back to what his actual name is. And I had one, because I remember when we were doing the Bo Show with you and Kluke, I had made an edit to his Wikipedia page about him being the fastest Calgary track star or something like that, and it stayed for like 2 or 3 months as well. So I was a little devastated when both of those changed.
It's mind-blowing to me that those things change and somebody takes the time to go change them back.
Yeah,
right.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, who is going through and editing these things? Like, who has that kind of time?
Because I don't think you get paid to do it. Isn't that kind of the deal with Wikipedia? It's kind of a take what you need and leave what you can.
Yeah.
What do you? By the way, somebody wants you to. We have a couple of different names. We want to call it Stamps Talk, but we're not a rights holder. Might be some legal issues with that, so we're not sure if that's going to be allowed. So we've got a couple of other ideas, football talk, the football show. Somebody just, suggested the horsepower hour though. I don't mind that.
Yeah, I was thinking about something. Yeah, horsepower hour. That was nice.
I like that quite a bit. Somebody suggested the horsepower podcast or Top Titty Hill. Hell yeah. That also is a potential.
That one always hits.
Might be some copyright issues.
Man,
though.
So obviously I'm following the Flames throughout the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, I'm posting, and you guys know me. I drop the occasional F-bomb.
No.
And,
no.
Yeah, so, you know, so I post Top City, hell yeah. I, you know, a little LFG, you know, let's go. within 5 minutes of posting that, I just have, like, message after message, like, you know, little kids are following you. You really shouldn't say things like that. I'm like, dude, I understand that, but I've always spoke this way. Like, you know, I mean, there's just, you gotta understand who you're following.
Yeah. I forgot to tell Azam to put the delay on for whenever we have Bo on.
Yeah, that was our bad.
Oh, yeah. Y'all need to get shut down day one.
Day one, and we've already got...
Don't worry about naming it. This show's over already, boy.
We've already got a Bo F-bomb. You know what?
Worked so hard to get the show. First guest.
Rite of passage. Bo Levi Mitchell, PG-13 always. How are we feeling? How are you feeling a few days away from the start of the season?
Man, I think the biggest compliment I've gotten, you know, throughout training camp, was Mark Mueller, was my quarterback coach. And I'm like, man, like, you know, I threw a go ball on the field, you know, and like literally in training camp last year, you know, I might have thrown the ball past 30 yards like once because I knew how bad it was going to hurt. And, you know, my body just feels so damn good. My arm feels great. Like there's zero pain in it. And just throwing the ball down the field during camp, you know, 2, 3, 4 days in a row. And I'm talking about, you know, 60, 65 yards, just letting them rip. And I walk over to Mule and I was like, damn, I was like, what do you think? I was like, that looks good, doesn't it? He goes, the thing that looks the best is your smile. He goes, it looks like you're having fun again. And that's all I care about. And I was like, you know what, you're right. Because, I mean, last year there wasn't a lot of fun moments for me. You know, when you're going through, you know, the pain, you know, and it's daily and it's every play, you know, it becomes about defeating your mind and kind of, you know, getting over pain, you know, every single time you're trying to do something. And I think that was a struggle within itself. You know, it took every ounce of energy I had. But this year, man, it's just, I'm just vibing with the guys. I'm just having a time, you know, hyping up Kadeem, hyping up KJ Red when they're making these plays, you know, our defense. I mean, everything just feels fun, exciting. You know, it's just, it feels like there's a good aura around. It's easy to have, especially after watching the Flames do what they did. So I think, obviously it was bittersweet ending there, you know, but, you know, they always, it seems like whenever the Flames have a great season in the playoffs and you see the stadium rocking, I think that tends to translate over to our field as well. So I'm excited to see the fans back, and I think they're going to see an excited football team out there as well.
Whether it's you personally or the team, you haven't won a playoff game going back to the Grey Cup win in 2018. I know the last season didn't go exactly the way that you even personally wanted it to go as you were dealing with what you were dealing with, as you just talked about. Like, fair to say that whether it's the team or whether it's Bo, that maybe entering this season with a bit of a chip on your shoulder?
Oh, definitely. I think, you know, I was talking to, I'm going to blank, Cammy. Koepke.
Cammy Koepke, yeah.
Global.
Yes. I was talking to her at the practice before our preseason game. She was talking to me and KJ just about the team and trying to get a vibe. She's covering sports now. And she was like, you know, hey, like what are people not talking about you guys right now? And I was like, you know, honestly, I was like, it's kind of nice to feel like people aren't talking about us. You know, like it's not just the Stampeders, they're going to be number one in the West. You know, it's going to be them versus Winnipeg or them versus Seth. You know, it's just, there's a lot of stories around the league right now. I think the biggest thing is more just the story of the CFL as a whole, having the first full season, which everybody's really, you know, pumped about. But I think people are having a hard time gauging their expectations for our team. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of excited about that. You know, I think I don't think there's a lot of talking, you know, positive. I don't think there's a lot of talk negative. I think Everybody's just kind of wishy-washy on what's going to happen, and they're kind of like a wait and see. And I think we're just excited to go out and show. So I think we're feeling good about that. And you know, it's a different time for sure for us, you know, because where we've been the past few years, but this year I feel good about it.
We're in conversation with Stampeders quarterback Bo Levi Mitchell on this Monday, Matty.
Bo, so much of a quarterback's success can hinge on his offensive line, and your team was able to bring back four of your starters from last year, and then the only one not returning is Yukomri Williams. You bring back Derek Dennis from a few years past to kind of sit in that left tackle position. At least it looks that way to start camp. How has things looked for that unit? And I guess, how are you feeling about that group as a whole?
Man, our O-line, you know, I think our biggest thing is we try not to overhype, you know, any one position on our team. But it's a team, the position I'm the most excited about is probably those guys up front. Them getting the time to gel last year, getting to move together, you know, they're without a doubt the best, you know, coach position, you know, on our team. I think they have probably one of the most difficult jobs that don't get talked about a lot. Obviously, there's all the cliche things you can say about an O-line group. But for me, man, whenever I go into camp, you always have eyes on as a quarterback. You always have your eyes on the O-line. You're watching one-on-ones every now and then. You kind of, you know, during film, you're kind of just peeking at, you know, oh, what D linemen are winning, you know, who's letting through guys, who's jumping off sides a lot. And it's just, man, it's like everything's been so positive with those guys. You know, run game, they're just moving guys. And we have, you know, who in my mind I believe to be the best back in the league. I know a lot of people probably say stand back. You know, but I think we have a guy that has probably the best ball carrier vision in our league. And I'm excited to have that, you know, being able to hand that guy the ball and watch him go behind this O-line right now is going to be special, because normally in training camp, you kind of look at the Americans that come in and they're like, oh, man, like, you know, this guy just can't pick it up. He just doesn't see it. Or this guy, oh, you know, he played, you know, a couple years in the league and maybe he just doesn't have it in his knees or anything anymore. And, you know, then you look at your Canadian group and you're like, okay, well, who can come in and step up? And it just seemed like there was so much this year. It didn't seem like there was anybody where you're like, oh, that guy doesn't have it. It seemed like there was a solid group from top, you know, from Sean and Steve all the way down to the guys that had just walked in the locker room. And the entire group vibes together. They're gelling. And then they're just pushing each other nonstop. You know, every time, you know, Sean would correct a guy on a mistake, you know, there's no arguments or anything like that. He just wants to learn from them. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the, I think, more talented groups I've seen in a bit coming into training camp. You know, and Pat would, you know, he'd be mad at me for overhyping those guys, and I don't want to do that. But I feel very safe behind those guys, and I know that Kadeem is very excited to run behind them.
The receiver group, a couple guys back. It's interesting because I remember talking to you after Marque McDaniel was hired to come on as a receivers coach and how excited you were to see him work with some of your guys. But then the season was canceled, and then the next season was a half season, and you only had Reggie Bagleton for a handful of games. So how excited are you to see this receiver unit, you know, full health for the most part, and Marque McDaniel kind of giving those guys tips and tricks along the way?
Yeah, you know, Mark, every coach has their coaching style, you know, and I knew Marque as a player. Marque was a coach for those receivers on the field. You know, he was the guy that was going to call a guy out if he's not doing his job. You know, just like Nick Lewis would, just like Rami Bryant would back in the day, you know, Marque was going to call a guy out. And I think Marque was like that last year, and I don't think a lot of guys handled it well in the very beginning. Because we had a receiver group last year where some guys were different personalities, I would just say. You know, I love the talent on the field. Some guys didn't vibe well with that kind of coaching style. You know, a lot of those guys aren't here anymore. But the group we have this year, you know, everybody, when Quay's talking, man, they're listening. When he's trying to teach them something, you can see them locked in. And we have a receiver group that is veteran and talented. You know, from American to Canadian and everything in between, they understand it. They get the game. They know their job. They understand their role, you know, and I think that's very important. A receiver, you can really, you can fall in love with hype and with preseason talk and with numbers and oh, I had this much last year, so I should have double that this year. You know, if you just understand that I have a role within this offense and my job as a quarterback, I have a role that's to get you the ball, you know, and it might not be on the play you expect it, and it might be, you know, it might be not on a play that you do expect to get the ball. So there's just times that when you watch Quay coach last year, I could see the frustration within him because I knew inside he wanted to be able to, you know, grind those guys down and coach them and have them respond in a positive way. And there was, you know, times last year where it didn't happen, but this year I can just see the vast difference in that. And I think you'll kind of see that grow and be even better throughout the entire year.
All right, last one for me, and it's just kind of a huddle question. Who's got the most infectious personality in that huddle?
Kadeem, without a doubt.
Yeah, I thought so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's he's just that guy. Like, he's always smiling. You can do the smallest thing. You know, like, you can bend down and tie your shoe, and he's like, oh, man, the way Julian ties his shoe, look at him. Like, he will hype you up. And I mean, it's just, man, it's so welcome in that huddle. You know, like, I've had running backs in the past that are, you know, staring at the screen and calling an old lineman out for, like, oh man, why'd you miss that block? Like, you, oh, can you not, you know, talk to him that way? We're about to run a max pro and I need him to protect from me. So it's nice to have that because Kadeem's always hyping guys up. You know, if he gets tackled, he's going to say, you know, damn, I should have made that guy miss. You know, if you miss a block, he's, oh, don't worry, I should have got there sooner in that block where you wouldn't have had to hold up as long. So he's definitely got the personality that everybody, you know, attaches on to for sure.
Bo Levi Mitchell's with us, Calgary Stampeders quarterback here on our football hour on this Monday. Over at CFL.ca at the Monday Morning Quarterback, I did my major awards predictions, and the gentleman I chose for most outstanding defensive player prediction was Jameer Thurman. I think this guy's got the opportunity to, stats-wise, like, he was unbelievable last year, but stats-wise, I think this guy could absolutely explode at middle linebacker and over 18 games. I remember going back a couple years ago on the Bo Show, you talked about how Willie Jefferson in Winnipeg is probably the best athlete in the CFL, and that's tough to argue. But where does Jameer rank in terms of just straight up pure freak like athleticism when you compare it across the rest of the league?
Yeah, man, he's a guy that when the first year he was in the league with Alex, you know, everybody's hyping up Alex, we're all talking about Alex. And it almost overshadowed the fact, and I think it was Derek Taylor that ended up doing, like, a, you know, the details with Derek Taylor that he was doing. And I don't think that Thurman had a missed tackle, and we were in, like, week 16. Yeah. And it was insane because every other player had averaged, you know, one or two a game because, that's, I mean, the CFL is just a huge field. You're going to make guys miss. It's easy to do. And I heard that stat, and I was like, oh, my God. So I started asking guys, I'm like, Thurman doesn't have a missed tackle? I was like, no, that guy doesn't miss. Like, he's a missile. So it's something you start to pay attention to more and more. And I just, you know, you kind of have your eyes drawn to certain players, you know, on defense. And he's a guy that, you know, every time I line up, whether it's that quarterback or I'm on the sideline watching, I'm watching him and how he moves. And it's very impressive, his knowledge and understanding of the game, you know, and he can cover running backs out of the backfield. He can drop into the zones where he needs to. You know, that's why we were able to put him at will linebacker. So I think putting him at Mike now, and he has the opportunity to really just take off and be aggressive with the run. And now you've got Cam Judge, you know, being his partner and being a guy that's just a freak athlete who made, and, you know, one of the best interceptions on me I've ever seen in my life in practice the other day. I couldn't believe it. But, you know, when you have that marriage right there between your Mike and your Will, and you don't know, you know, who's a better athlete, who's more dangerous, you know, you got a guy that can tackle, you got a guy that can cover. It's going to be an impressive year from those linebackers. I mean, we usually always kind of run through having solid linebackers in Calgary.
Yeah.
And I think we have two of the best we've had in a while.
Set us up for Montreal. Week one on Thursday. You're kicking off the season. Commish is going to be in town. It's a big deal. It's our first normal CFL season since 2019. Set us up for the Alouettes at McMahon on Thursday, Bo.
Man, I don't know if I've ever been a part of an opening game. I think I have, and the only one I can think of was the rematch versus Ottawa after the Grey Cup. And it was me versus, I know Henry was in the Grey Cup, but it was me versus Trevor. And I think the game ended up going like 46-48 or something insane.
Yeah.
That's the last one I can remember at least. And, man, it's just, there's always something about the opening kickoff game. You know, there's always a return for a touchdown. There's always big plays. It's never just like, you know, you come out and everything's just kind of, you know, vanilla. So, you know, what I would say is we've had all offseason game plan for these guys. Offensively, they've had all offseason game plan for us defensively, add new things, you know, kind of test things out. So I expect to see the same defense I saw last year as far as a very, very physical front, guys that literally are just, you know, meatheads. They can just get after the passer. They can get move guys in the run game. You know, every single one of them are big, tall, strong. You know, Jake, I watched Jake play them last year, and, you know, he got smashed, you know, six times in the game, got straight back up, had a bloody nose for most of the game. And, you know, I think as a quarterback, you know, you have to stand in and take hits to beat Montreal. So that veteran linebacker has got 33, I think, can cover really well. You got Chris Ackie, who's a hell of an athlete. Yep. That's obviously played, you know, down south and here and been successful everywhere he's been. And their DBs, man. You know, Reed is one of the better DBs in the league, I believe. You know, they have to move him around. You know, I think overall they understand their defense and run it very well, and it runs well because of having a good pass rush. So, you know, obviously if I was able to sit back there for 4.5 seconds, I would be able to dissect that defense and we could create plays that would get down the field. You know, but they're very good fronts. So you've got to be able to get the ball out of your hands. You got to understand, you know, what they're in. And you got to confirm things with your eyes, man, because they've got the ability to run a lot of different coverages, a lot of different blitzes, different packages now with the first pick. Richards, number 42, you know, that guy is a freak athlete. I watched him in the preseason. He's going to be a hell of a player up here. You know, so I think they'll bring him in a little bit. We're preparing for every possibility, you know, everything they could possibly do. We've thought about it. You know, we're trying to show different blitzes. And I think, you know, anytime you get two Eastern Washington quarterbacks to start a game, there's going to be some electricity between Vernon and I. So I am excited about the battle there. But man, you know, Kahari has a team that always likes to play for him. Dave has a team that's going to play for him. You know, they're both player coaches, and I mean, it's going to be an exciting game one for sure.
Cannot wait. I know I'll be there Thursday, but I might tag along and be a junior reporter with Maddie at practice tomorrow. I might get Maddie to show. I haven't been to a Stamps practice in years, so I might get Maddie to show me around. Now that we're doing this show at least an hour every day, I better show my face around there. So I'll be Maddie. Maybe I'll be Maddie's junior reporter one time this week.
We'll get him a clipboard and everything. Yeah.
Just throw some SPF 50 on that forehead, man.
It's a big one.
Wow.
I bet I'm going to have to use a whole bottle to make sure that it's covered.
I'll pack extra.
I had to give you one joke. I had to give you one.
That was good. Well, you gave us one F-bomb, so you might as well kick me in the teeth, too. Get out of here. Good to hear from you, buddy. It's good to have you back on the show.
All right, guys. I'll see you tomorrow, man. Appreciate it.
All right, man. That's Bo Levi Mitchell, Stan Peters, quarterback. And look, it's a five head. It's more than a forehead. It's when you got that widow's peak, baby.
There's a reason why I wear hats all the time, and it's because we aren't so far apart, my guy.
It's true. I just don't try to keep this hair. This has been a widow's peak my entire life. It hasn't receded yet. I don't want to wear a hat very often because I want this thing to stay as long as possible before I have to completely bick it.
We should get sponsored by like a hair loss people. That's what we should do. Get an endorsement.
Hair club for men?
Sure. Something whatever. Like whichever one works.
Well, that was pretty fun. We get to do a full hour of CFL talk every single day. Starting this Monday and going forward, I'm pretty stoked, buddy.
I'm very excited. That was a lot of fun. I'm excited to chat with Bo all season long. Like, I don't know if I said it. I think I threw it up in a tweet, though, because there were some people out east who are kind of dragging Bo for his preseason play a little bit. And honestly, like, his first game wasn't great. I think he was, what, 1 for 8, 2 picks. One interception wasn't his fault. The other one was a timing play. The defensive back made a nice play. There was a handful of drops by the opposition as well. He's excited. He's got good protection. He trusts his receivers. He feels he's got the best running back in the league. And I think above all, the biggest thing for me is you can tell how excited Bo is to be back playing football on the field with his teammates. And that in itself, I think, is going to bode well for the team.
Well, that was fun. By the way, we'll be doing this every day, live
podcast
on the radio,
soon.
5 till 6 o'clock. Yes, podcast coming soon. For now, it'll be part of our Sportsnet Today on demand at sportsnet.ca/960. But first, we'll settle on a name. That's being worked on by people smarter than us. Second, podcast feed also being worked on by people smarter than us. By the way, Bo Levi Mitchell joined us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. For every dollar you spend, earn points towards free pizza with their rewards program, Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast.